Welcome to episode 13 of the Empower the Game podcast. We're your hosts, Paige Davern and Caitlin Smith.
The goal of this podcast is to empower women in sports and inspire females who are looking to enter the industry. Welcome back, everyone. I know it's been a few weeks, but summer is finally getting started. And we've had a few crazy couple weeks. I graduated college last month and Paige started her summer internship. So we're ready to get back into the swing of things. Today, we have a special guest, Emily Stacker, who we are so thankful to have on. Thank you so much, Emily.
Yeah, thank you for having me on and congratulations for all of your accomplishments. Super exciting.
Emily is an attorney and agent for media and influencers and has a strong connection with women in sports.
So Emily, if you want to just start by sort of going into detail about how you started working in sports and sort of walk us through your journey.
Yeah, I started as a journalist. I went to Gonzaga and I covered the team. I covered sports in the Northwest during my time in college and then transferred sort of into more NFL coverage. And during that time, decided that I wanted to go to law school. I wanted to pursue that next chapter. And so my life was very crazy in that time, going to school full time, working and getting ready for law school. But did the thing. I went to the University of Denver, and Denver was a great place to go because it's a four sport town. You know, they definitely have a lot going on there in the sports world. So if anyone is, you know, deciding to go to law school, I would definitely consider the city that you're going to in just terms of like what they have to offer in terms of networking and connections. But during that time, I started working for an NFL agent and really fell in love with the agency space. I knew that for me, it was going to be tough as an attorney as far as relationships go, because one thing that they like people don't really think about is when you're just an attorney, usually your clients only come to you when things are going badly, right? Like you don't hear from people when things are going great. And so that can be pretty emotionally draining. And so I really liked that about working in an agency is you get to really have a long-term relationship with your clients. You get to celebrate all of their wins too. Like you're really with them, you know, if you choose to be, you can have like a day-to-day relationship. Like it can really be a strong relationship. And so for me, I knew I wanted to integrate that into my practice in some way. I was also working in corporate law, so I knew I didn't want to do big law, but I worked for a bank in Colorado. I worked in-house for them and did a lot of compliance and securities regulations related stuff, and I enjoyed that. And basically, my last year of law school, I started working with Galvanize, which is a organization that helps women grow in the sports industry. It is a giant network. It's all about, you know, really supporting one another and getting women more opportunities in a male prevalent industry. And one of the ways it does that is through media training with the NFL. And so that's really where I focused a lot of my work, was with the media training. And so we do a lot of these rookie development programs with different teams across the NFL. And I really, really fell in love with that aspect of it. But during my time with Galvanize, I just started interfacing with a lot of young women who were really either getting taken advantage of or just signing like horrible contracts. Like either had not a great relationship with their agent because, you know, whether he was male or older and just couldn't relate to her, or they just weren't putting in the effort that I had been exposed to in my time at an agency. Like it was kind of startling to me and pretty heartbreaking because, you know, they were sending me these contracts they were signing and they were awful, right? They had no true advocacy. And that to me, it just was so obvious once I began to realize just there was such a need for like quality representation in that space for women in not just, you know, media, but just women in sports in general. Because it's one thing to get in the door, but I really try and shy away from any of those narratives of like, oh, it's such a competitive industry, you're so lucky to get this job, blah, blah, blah. Like people use that to devalue women. People use those sort of remarks to devalue women and just tell them that they're lucky to be here. But, you know, an industry being competitive doesn't mean that you are worth, you know, your true value, or that you deserve to get paid a livable wage, you know. So I really just leaned into that and started my own agency, and I represent women in sports media. I've got them in all sorts of different roles. I've got MMJs, I've got writers. One of my clients is actually, she works for the Seattle Kraken. She's the intersectionality specialist for them, and she's really, you know, one of the leading voices changing the NHL to become more inclusive, which has been incredible. And then also just through referrals, I, you know, have some influencers, which has been really interesting. There's so much money in that, and it's not a very regulated industry. And so, like, my first influencer client, she's a young Black woman, and I was really, really fortunate to sort of get in with her just as she was becoming viral, so that we could really protect her brand and her interests and get all of her intellectual property protected and really make sure, like, she knew who she was, she knew what she wanted, she knew her value, and make sure that she's getting paid for all of her content. Because there's a lot of exploitation in that world. But I really just sort of created my own space to work in, which is, you know, helping women secure their value. And I'm so in love with it. Right now I also do civil litigation. So I do complex civil litigation. As I said earlier, I've been in trial all week, but you know, for me, I just am so in love with the women that I work with. It's such an honor. And I feel like it is a space where so much change can happen for this industry.
No, and I really appreciate you bringing that up, because I just graduated college, like I said, and I am in that process of talking with different news stations, and then the contract conversation, and then them just giving you crazy low numbers to work with. And I'm just like, okay, this is really hard, and this is really a struggle. So thank you for advocating for women and really taking your career to that level of making sure women are valued and appreciated and shown their worth, because that's very important. And so what exactly made you get involved with Galvanize? I know you said you started getting involved with them towards the end of your law school, but what made you really interested in learning more about them?
I mean, it shows the power of networking. Like, I just met Laura and we really hit it off. You know, I am like a first generation student in a lot of ways. Like, I was the first woman in my family to go to college, and then the first person ever to, you know, do a graduate program. And so I think she really, you know, acknowledged that and respected that, and, you know, wanted me to get involved in some way. And it was really kind of one of the first moments that I think she kind of paused to think, like, you know, Galvanize is so much more than just for women in sports journalism. Like, it really is for, it's not even just for women in sports. Like, the mission of Galvanize, what it really stands for, is for all women. You know what I mean? And that's the value of it, like, that true, genuine support of women from other women. Like, that is so valuable. I had no idea that existed. Like, I was so used to being defensive, not really trusting women, not really having women in my life that I could just, like, talk about sports with. Like, my friends would just always tiptoe around it because they didn't want to talk to me about sports. And so, you know, being exposed to literally thousands of women in this industry who all are just as hardworking and just as interested, have just as strong of a love for the game as I did. Like, I just fell in love with it immediately and thought, you know, this is really how we make, like, significant and real and lasting change, is by changing the way in which women treat each other and, you know, make sure that we're all working towards the same goal and continuing to open doors rather than feel isolated.
Yeah, that's something I would say most of our guests that we've had on the podcast have sort of touched on and talked about, is that it's important for the women in this industry to be building each other up instead of making it more competitive than it needs to be and should be. So it's just interesting that everyone sort of has like the same outlook on that and everything. But yeah. So obviously you don't really have, it sounds like, a typical day at work. You do a lot of different things at a lot of different times. But can you sort of run us through what like an example of a day at work would look like for you?
Yeah, this week was different because I was in trial, but usually, you know, I work fully remotely when I am not going to court. So I live in Seattle. And then I basically call into my firm in the morning, do a rundown with my partner of what needs to get done, just so I can sort of assess my workload for the day and where I'm at there. And then just throughout the day, I am piecing in, you know, whatever aspects of life my clients need help with. Sometimes that's contract review. Sometimes it's, you know, working with sponsors. Like my influencer gets sponsorship, like content sponsorship opportunities almost every day. So it's just kind of fielding those and sorting through those. And, you know, that's definitely a lot of back and forth in terms of negotiation sometimes. And then right now I don't have any, I have one client who is actively, you know, she's getting near the end of her contract and is actively looking for like her next step. So a lot of it is working with her to really find like the right next step. And that's one thing that I do a little differently than a lot of broadcasting agents. It's one of the reasons that I sort of dove into this space, because I was hearing that a lot of other agents would basically just have a list of their clients and send out like that entire list to any station with an opening. Like they didn't put any sort of care or thought into like which of their clients would actually be interested in that role. And I was hearing from news directors too of like, I hate that. Like anytime I get a list of, you know, not even just a list of women, but list of broadcasters, it's like, why would I go through every single one of those and say, like, should I offer this person an interview? It makes no sense. And so for me, I really put a lot of care into actually individualizing those communications with news directors or whomever I'm reaching out. And I make it a promise to all of my clients that I only pitch one client for one job. That's one thing that I think being an attorney really instilled in me, because as an attorney, we have to adhere to really strict ethical guidelines. Like we can't have active conflicts of interest with clients. We can't represent clients in a way that's, you know, against one another. And so that's something that I instill in my agency practice as well, because I just don't believe in that. And I really do believe that, you know, the right opportunity exists for every single person, right? And if it's not for them, it's not for them. And so I do put a ton of care into that. And that's a big part of my day, is just sort of following up with connections in my network and asking around about positions and kind of putting her stuff out there, getting her name out there, getting her reel out there. And also working with her. Like that's one thing that I think is really important for anyone who is interested in being an agent, is, you know, you're interviewing the client too. Like you want to make sure that they're a good fit for you too, as far as values and beliefs and goals go. And so one thing I really appreciate about all my clients is they're all go-getters too. And they really meet me halfway. You know, it's not, they don't just expect me to do it all. Like they are really equally invested, which I so appreciate. And I think it just speaks a lot to the quality of women in this industry. But, you know, they get it. Like they really get how hard it is sometimes. And so it really is like a 50-50 split of both of us working to get them that right next fit. And that can take a long time. Like, fortunately, the one client that I have now, she's got some time before her contract is expired, so we can be really intentional and thoughtful about who we're, you know, having those conversations with. But that is a big part of my day, is just continuing to keep those channels open and really nurture all of those relationships in my network to make sure that, you know, my clients in the future can have opportunities. Like, so much of it is just relationship creation and management. And as formal as that sounds, like, so much of that just comes down to, like, being a good person and, like, not having an agenda. Like, really, the best networking advice I can give is to completely throw away the word networking and just, like, view it as relationship building. Like, treat it no differently than any other relationship you would treat in your life, right? Like, people want to be treated like human beings. And I think that that really can set you so much apart in an industry where it constantly feels like people want something from you. If you just treat somebody as a person without wanting a single thing from them, like, I don't know how to describe it, but that always benefits you in the long run. And so a lot of it's that. And, you know, I know that's only a few things, but it really does to long days sometimes. And there's also a part of being an agent that's just being available for an emotional phone call. Or, you know, if somebody's having a shitty day at work and their news director blasted them for a package that they sent in, like, that's, I get that call, right? Like, I want to be there for my clients in that way too. And that's not for everyone. Like, that's the great thing about being an agent and being an attorney is you get to choose what kind you want to be. But for me, that's important that I am there for them through the thick and the thin, because it just makes all of the wins that much better.
And I know, going back, I know you said you had a lot of clients who were women involved with sports and sports journalism. What would you say to anyone that is going through that process of first seeing these contracts that they've never seen before to kind of value their worth and just, like, explain, hey, like, this is ridiculous and I'm worth a lot more?
Yeah. Always counter, right? Always, always, always counter. And that's not just in sports. That's any job offer. Like, the statistics as far as women countering, it's so low. And men, like, almost always are like, I deserve more. So just, you know, making that part of the process, making negotiating part of your process is so important. And then I also just think, you know, being realistic without devaluing yourself, right? And so knowing, like, okay, is the salary in a market where the cost of living is really cheap, right? And is it a one-year contract? Like, can I get through this 1 year? Let's say it's an MMJ role. Can I do this MMJ role, get my real really good, you know, cover, you know, a good college division sports, whatever, get in, get out without being, you know, negatively financially impacted? Like, that's kind of the reality of the business right now, is just, if you do want to go that MMJ role, like, you kind of have to slum it that first one, but that doesn't mean that you need to, like, go broke doing it. So it's really just being realistic. And if it's not a living wage, then that's the conversation that you present in your counter, is like, hey, I would love to do this job. You know, MMJs work 80 plus hours a week sometimes. So in order to do that, because I won't be able to work part-time, I need to make a living wage. And, you know, this is my estimated budget for what I need to afford to live here, right? And, like, actually coming to them with the breakdown of what you need can be really powerful, because those not arguments, but those points rooted in facts and logic are just a lot more effective than saying, this sucks and it makes me feel worthless and I would like more, right? So just being really rational and realistic about it, I think they appreciate too. Because at the end of the day, like, you, it is a working relationship and you don't want to, like, blow it up first thing if you do accept the job. So yeah, I think just if it is that first contract, you know, really being realistic and saying, hey, like, can I actually afford this, right? And if you can't, then don't take it. Like, it's not worth going broke for a job. Like, that's ridiculous. So, you know, just be really cognizant of, I would say, cost of living, and state income tax also can be a big factor in terms of, you know, if you're putting any money away into savings. But The beauty of a lot of those contracts is they can be really short. Or if you sign with a certain conglomerate, sometimes they allow transfers to bigger after like your first or second year. So just being really intentional with those next steps and acknowledging that so much of this industry is a ladder. Like, you're not going to crush it and get hired from ESPN right out of the gate. Like, that's just not how life works, unfortunately. And so understanding that this really is, it's a process, and there's a lot of beauty in it. Like, anyone who does a year as an MMJ in a smaller market, like, they pick up so many skills that are so valuable. Like, it, I cannot even begin to describe it. It's not just those practical skills, but it's a lot of belief and self-sufficiency and independence and ability to, like, know that you can rely on yourself and trust yourself. Like, those things are invaluable going forward. So, I mean, I would say think holistically, right? Think in the context of your full career, and know that, you know, no one's expecting you to be making crazy money, but you do have the right to, like, be fine, be comfortable, be good. Like, those are not big asks, and you have the right to feel like you're good, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's a super important part of, or a super, like, important conversation that we don't have enough as people who are trying to enter the sports industry and about to enter the sports industry, because obviously it's difficult to navigate, just like a lot of other industries are. So it's important that we kind of talk about things like that, because a lot of people don't know that, and even don't know that being in the industry. So
yeah, totally.
Yeah. And you make a lot of good points, obviously. So is there another maybe like lesson that you feel like you learned, or something that you wish you had known before entering the sports industry?
Oh yeah. You know, I actually just posted about this on Instagram, because last night I saw, there's some different generational beliefs in this industry, and I get it, because I think, you know, 30, 40 years ago, it was even more competitive than it is now. And I think just that older generation in general has a different mindset than ours. Like, we definitely put a greater emphasis on our happiness and our mental health. But, you know, you're entitled to happiness. And I don't think that that's that radical of a statement, but a lot of people will make you feel like it is. And that's crazy, right? So when I graduated law school, like, I think I had taken a total of 5 days off in 3 years. Like, I was grinding, and I was miserable, but I used, sorry, my dog is crying. I used being busy to distract myself from how unhappy I was. And that's kind of what you have to do in things like law school. You just have to get through it. But when I was done and I kind of came up for air, and I had these, like, I had my first weekend off, and I was so miserable with that stillness, with that free time. Like, it was so uncomfortable, because for so long, I had, you know, chosen to believe that I didn't have the option to do things that made me happy. And so when I did have that time, I didn't even know what made me happy anymore. Like, of course I like sports and I like to watch sports, but like, for me, an idea of a good time is like going to the grocery store. And so I had to literally rediscover things that made me happy. Like, that summer I was like painting, I was like rereading all the Harry Potter books. I was doing all this crazy stuff, like trying to find out what made me happy, because I genuinely did not know. And I was so separated from myself for so long. I felt like I had to, just to survive how hard law school was. And so I would just say, like, do not lose yourself. Do not let what you do define who you are, because at the end of the day, like, you know, life is to be enjoyed. Like, there is no greater purpose in life than to enjoy it, whatever that looks like for you. And there is no career on earth that is worth, you know, minimizing your happiness for. Like, you really do, or you should prioritize it. Like, it really should be a priority. And so that doesn't mean, like, you know, quit your job because you're experiencing adversity necessarily, right? Like it could, but it doesn't necessarily mean that. But if you're making a decision and you know that one station or one city is going to negatively impact your mental health, like you should really give that a lot of consideration and thought and a lot more value. And so, you know, that it's tough because that older generation views it as like either laziness or entitlement. But at the end of the day, like I think a lot of it just has to do with resentment because they didn't have the opportunity to have like these kind of conversations and these considerations to their own mental health. But that doesn't mean that you need to do the same thing. So I would just say to anyone, like, make sure that you are really grounded and know who you are and what you enjoy, because it's really easy to lose yourself. And, you know, don't do what I did and go years into it and then realize like you don't even know what makes you happy anymore. Like, make sure that your happiness is a priority too.
I love that. And I think that's so important because a lot of the jobs that I have been talking to, obviously they are not in these top big cities, but also I need to realize, will I be happy there? Even, I mean, get paid nothing, be in a miserable place. Like, you have to like really talk to yourself and figure out, are you willing to make those sacrifices? And is there somewhere else out there that I just need to wait on that could be better for me? But I want to ask you one last question. What message do you want, or do you want to give women who might feel lost or undefeated coming into this industry? And I know there's so much that we just talked about that you actually struggle when you get into this industry, but what do you want women to know who want to come into sports but are scared and don't know really how?
Try to see other women's wins and success as possibility for yourself rather than competition, or comparison, not just competition, but comparison. And I know it's really easy, especially when you're in the job hunt, like social media is so miserable for that reason of like, I think it's great that people post their wins, but if you're in the like mindset of I'm looking for a job and you see all these people get their opportunities, you know, especially if you're a woman and you see a bunch of men getting jobs, like it can be really defeating. But you know, the one thing is, if you see a woman succeeding, just know that that success benefits you. Like, she's opening more doors for you and other women. And if she got it, then it's for her, right? And you're going to get what's for you. And when your time comes, like, you want to make sure that you've got women in your corner celebrating you. And so it really is just about understanding that the right thing for you will come. It requires a lot of patience. Like, I could tell you, I've got clients with Excel sheets of hundreds of places that they applied to when they were starting to break in. Yep. And so you really do have to, you know, be patient. And that's why I have so much respect for women in this industry, because I know that if you've gotten your foot in the door, you've been through that and you chose to be there. You chose that because you really want to be there. And so I think just changing the way in which we view other success and our own success, right, is so important. And avoiding that comparison, because we're all so different. And that's the one beautiful thing about success, is it's not a finite resource, right? Because it looks different for everyone. You know, my definition of success is different from both of yours. And that's how it should be, right? Like, again, stay true to who you are and what makes you happy. And, you know, happiness is a part of success too. So I would just definitely say, know who you are, be patient, and enjoy the ride, which includes, like, you know, building other women up along the way.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we just want to thank you again for joining us on today's episode. You gave a lot of good insight and advice, and we really appreciate you taking the time to talk with us.
Of course. And please reach out to me if you need anything, and to your listeners too. You know, I am happy to help young women trying to make it in this industry. So I appreciate both of you continuing to, you know, tell stories and share information. It's so important. And again, congrats to both of you. Very exciting things happening.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Your insight was very needed.
Oh, good. Yeah, definitely reach out if you need help, because I know it is so defeating sometimes, but just take care of yourself and have faith, because we're still coming out of a pandemic economy and it's going to take some time to truly reset. So give yourself some grace too.
Thank you.
And for those listening, you guys can follow Emily on Instagram at Emily_Stacker. And then you can follow us at Empower the Game. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. And we'll see you guys in our next episode.